You know, before we get started, I would like to introduce Laura Rosenbluth to the committee. Laura has just joined us as our executive assistant.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Nice to meet you. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome.
And Joellen, you should be able to, once the meeting starts, you should be able to share your screen. At least I believe that is the case. So,
perfect.
Yep.
All right. Now I need to take a break. I have a radio going. It's been music, but now it's news, and I've got to turn it off. I'll be right back. All right. Okay, this is the December 14th meeting of the CROG Personnel and Finance Committee. We have one major item on our agenda, but before we get there, we need a motion to approve the minutes of November 3rd. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Moved by Mr. Coleman. Is there a second?
Second.
By Ms. Cantor. Okay, next item on our agenda. Any comments or corrections to the minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, approved unanimously. Any opposition? Okay. Presentation and review of the class and compensation study. Pauline. Or Matt, who's going to do this?
Pauline, you can lead off and I'll add on to it and we'll turn it over to Joellen.
Yeah, so as the Personal Finance Committee knows, we commissioned GovHR to conduct a classification and compensation study for us. Joellen will go through the process of that class and comp study and we'll share with you the results and the conclusions, and at the end ask for an endorsement by the committee so that we can bring it to the policy board next week.
Thank you, Pauline.
If Joellen, if you can't share, just let me know. You should be able to though.
So just a couple of additional comments to what Pauline added, and I think probably all of you, the committee members, are somewhat familiar with this, but periodically it's recommended that public sector organizations, you know, update their classification and compensation studies for purposes of internal equity, external equity, making sure that we're competitive with the broader job market, because we want to be able to recruit and retain a talented team like we have here now. So this is something Pauline and I talked about early on after I started. And my understanding, there was an interest in doing this already, and we brought it to the committee, and appreciate your support with proceeding with the project. And we selected Joellen's firm through through a competitive process. So pleased to have you here with us today, Joellen.
Before she begins, Matt, when was the last time this was done?
Prior to my starting at CROG, which means at least 12 years, I want to say 2008.
Okay. Have there been concerns raised internally about equity issues and about salary ranges before the study?
I don't know if in the recent past, but you know, we know it's a very competitive job market right now. And as we're posting positions, we're looking at ranges and how they compare to what we see in other organizations in the public sector. You know, I'm thinking we might be falling a little short in a few areas there. And the rule of thumb I've always tried to follow, and you know, Joellen, you may have a slightly different take, or Tony, you may have a slightly different take, is about every 10 years or so, you know, you should look to conduct a study along these lines.
It's an awful lot of work for the staff to put it together, is my recollection.
Joellen did the heavy lifting.
Well, everybody has to talk to her about what they do.
Yes.
So there's that.
That's okay. True.
All right, that's the end of my comments.
All right, without further ado, I'll let you, Joellen, you take over and you can share the, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm happy to be here to go over the results of the study, and I will share my screen and bring up my presentation for you to take a look at. Okay, here's are the items I'm going to go through today at a high level, but when we get to certain points, I'm not sure how Pauline's going to do this, but she's going to share her screen too, so you can see what I'm talking about when we get to the classification and compensation plans. I'll talk about the scope of work we were asked to perform for CROG, and then the job evaluation process that we conducted, which did require us to talk with the employees at the agency about the positions that they, the work that they perform, you know, for you. And then the proposed classification plan that we put together, the salary survey that we sent out to the market to get some information about similar positions in the area, the proposed compensation plan that we've put together, and then how would you implement it going forward and how would you manage it in the future? And I agree with Matt as far as the future administration. If the system is maintained, it will last you for a long time, 10 plus years. So the scope of work involved two components. One was looking at the classification plan. The other was looking at the compensation plan. And on the classification side, you know, well, really for both, we sat down and we talked and we gathered a lot of information. You know, we needed your current pay plans. We needed the current employee pay. We needed job descriptions. So all of that information was sent over to us. We then went through we had a conversation, I should say, about how we were going to determine from whom we would gather salary information. You know, what would be those comparable entities? Because your agency is unique in the area. You know, there's not a lot to compare to. So we looked at other regional agencies as well as some local governments in your member communities. We then had some meetings with the employees to talk about the whole program, what work we needed them to do. We needed them to fill out a questionnaire. We needed supervisors to review their questionnaires. And then we interviewed employees. So they were very instrumental in this process, very cooperative. People shared all of their information about their positions with us, which really helps when you're trying to do a study like this, when people are forthcoming and give you information and do a good job on the questionnaires that we asked them to fill out. After they filled it out and they were reviewed by the supervisors and administration, everything was sent to us. And then we conducted virtual interviews with every, at least one employee in every position. So we talked with every position that is at CROG right now. And then at the same time, we put together a salary survey and we sent it out. We received information and we analyzed it. It's very important when you look at the salary data to make sure it really is applicable. And I'll talk a little bit about how we construct our survey, but we went through, we looked at it. And as a result of that, we developed a compensation plan to go along with the classification plan. So what you have now is a draft of the final report. As was mentioned, it was the overview was presented earlier today. And then we will receive feedback from you, and after which time we will be able to finalize the report. So we have a job evaluation system at GovHR that is a point factor system. And we looked at 19 positions at CROG. And our system has 9 different factors. Really, there's 2 that have 2 components, so it's almost about 11 factors. But we look at all of these different items in relation to each position. So every position needs some level of education, some amount of experience, some judgment that is being exercised, the complexity of work. So all of the things listed here down to the physical demands of the job, which correlates with the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as the technological aptitude, you know, meaning more than just using a computer, it's really overall proficiency. So the questionnaire asked people about their positions. It allowed them to update their job descriptions if necessary. And then it went through questions related to these 9 job factors, and people responded with the appropriate level they think was applicable to their position. After that, and I don't know, can you share the table one now, Pauline? What we did was we received the questionnaires. They were, the comments were given by supervisors, and then we conducted virtual interviews with the staff. And what we did as a result of that was we developed a classification plan, which measures what we call internal equity. So the classification plan has 9 grades, and there were some new titles recommended as a result of the creation of the classification plan. So are people able to see that?
I just realized that if you go to view options at the top of your screen, you can toggle between these 2 shared screens.
I've only got one. Let's see.
If you look at where it says Zoom ratio, at the very bottom, there are 2 checks, there are 2 names under shared screens, and I can click on
toggle back and forth. Yeah. Can't get them side by side, but we can toggle back and forth.
Right.
Okay. So if you go to the classification plan, what you'll see is the job title on the left side, then a proposed title, if there's any recommendations for title changes. Then I think it's the new grade, the job factor analysis score, the new grade, the skill level, and then the new grade. So what you can see is there's an aggregate score of the questionnaire, and the positions that scored similarly are assigned to the same grade. And then there's a skill level related to each grade, a range of points. So in the future, if CROG needs to classify another job, depending on how it scores, you know which grade to assign it to. But that internal equity is really important because it is unique to the organization. You know, we talk with employees about what they do. It allows them to bring all of the nuances of their work into consideration. And then we classify the job to the most complex tasks that they're performing. So as a result of it, you can see that there's a few positions that are assigned to the same grade. And what that tells us is overall, the knowledge, skills, and ability needed to perform the work is similar enough, and therefore the position should be in the same grade. And then eventually when we get to the compensation side, they should have the same pay range. So internal equity translates into pay equity for the organization. So not only do we classify the jobs together based on overall complexity, we also recommend that they get paid the same because of pay equity.
Could you explain, for example, the Director of Regional Planning and Development, the JFA score is 665, and then it says parentheses, 45 points. What do points in parentheses mean?
So that's the amount of points in that skill level. So I think it goes from 650 to 695. Is that correct, that the number's the right top, above that?
The top one does, but the one below it merely has 45 points in parentheses.
Right. That's the range spread. That's the spread of points. It goes from 650 to 695, which is 45 points.
Got it.
Okay.
So they're both.
Right. So everyone in that band. So there's 3 pay bands in that classification plan. There's the directors and senior managers, the administrative and technical staff, and the the advanced technical and supervisory staff and the administrative and technical staff. So within each band, there's a skill level. And then right under the highest grade is the points assigned to that skill level.
The skill level, is it related directly to the position or is it a relationship between positions? Because it strikes me that why would a director of the director of planning or transportation planning director have a skill level of 690 for that particular position, whereas the chief operations officer has a skill level of 715 for that officer? Why would you not want someone with as much skill as you can get for the planning director's position? So I'm trying to understand what that skill level really means.
It's all it is, you know, when you classify jobs, there's natural breaks in where the positions are grouping together. So what we do is we look at it all and say, well, which positions make sense to be in the same grade? So, and going up to 695, then when over 700 is another level, you know, you wouldn't have a skill level of 100 points. That would be too broad. So you want to differentiate the positions by grade. And so that's why they're separated that way. And every one of those job factors, you know, have different responses. So if I go back to the different job factors, you know, one job will have one level of education. One might have a different one. One might have need more years of experience versus another. So you just take the totality of the answers to those nine different factors and you come up with the score. And so the 690 is a very high score.
I think it's important to understand that the score applies to the job, not the person. You could have a person working in that position who would take a higher level, at which point the job skill level would still be the job skill level it is. And that person would have qualified for that if that person had those skills.
I understand that, and I don't want to belabor the point. I just, and no offense meant, Pauline, but I'm not sure, I don't necessarily agree that somebody has to be more skilled to be chief operations officer than to be transportation planning director.
Matt?
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily means that, John. There's, you know, various factors you're considering, including the scope of responsibility. Another point I wanted to make is the one I think you were making, Tony, is, and Joelle, and you can elaborate on this, is your scoring is set according to the minimum qualifications of the job, correct? It's not,
yes.
It's not just, you might have an overqualified incumbent. What's the minimum required to perform that job in a satisfactory manner?
Correct. It's about the position, not the person. So when we do the initial kickoff meeting with the employees, the analogy I like to use is if you won the lottery and you decided to move to Florida and you had to make a recommendation for the knowledge, skills, and abilities needed to perform your job, the minimum qualifications, what are those? And so it's about the position, not the incumbent employee. So the study's not about, you know, performance or organizational analysis or staffing analysis or anything like that. It's simply about the position, the minimum qualifications, and whether or not it's assigned appropriately in the classification plan.
And it does affect the salary.
Yes, there's two, which we'll get to in a minute. So that's the next table is that brings in the compensation side of it. It does, and we look at the market too. But what drives your system is this, is the internal equity piece, because you know, you could go to another regional agency and they may value their jobs differently. You know, there can be some nuances to every place. Every place is different. So, you know, we really focus on making sure that internal equity, that structure is correct going into it. And then we apply the market pay.
When these first studies were first implemented in the 70s, it was discovered that job qualifications that women primarily hired had lower points and lower pay than the job qualifications that had men in them. And there were very clearly discrimination. So a guy who wanted to work for maintenance was hired in at maintenance 2, and a woman who wanted to work in maintenance was hired in at maintenance 1. And all the difference was which kind of screwdriver they had to use. I mean, what was discovered was just absolutely blatant sexual and racial discrimination, which made it hard to rectify because you had to give pay increases to a lot of people. But my guess is you're finding less and less of that as time goes on, although I would be surprised if it was gone altogether.
Well, some states are adopting pay equity laws. And so by establishing your internal equity, And by paying all of those positions in the same grade, the same range, that you by virtue are creating pay equity as well. So we do this, we do a lot of this work, and I do a lot of work in Massachusetts, and they have an equity pay law that they passed a few years ago. And this system complies with that law, which is a good thing.
Tony, I bet it's still more prevalent than any of us would want it to be.
Right. The jobs that have caring components get lower grades. The quality of caring isn't even part of the system, right? So child care workers don't get the highest points as somebody. Oh, the classic one is that dog trainers get higher points than child care workers.
I'll move on to the compensation side. So we had a conversation of from whom would we request compensation data. So we looked at member communities. There's quite a few member communities in CROG. So we looked at the population from 10 to 40,000. And then we also looked at, we didn't get information from them, but we tried to bring in a few regional planning commissions and some council of governments where we could. So that's the kind of the world we looked at for compensation data. And these are the different communities that were included that we requested information from, the member community. So this is the group that had that population range between 10 and 40,000.
You have a typo. Talent has two L's.
Oh.
Good get.
That was fast. Well, at least we don't have Framingham on here anymore. Thank you for that. A few things about the salary survey is we want to make sure that when we receive data from the market, it's comparable data. So when we put a salary survey together, we actually look at the position and we define it. So we put the title in and we define the role. So when somebody's responding, they give us the right information. And then we look at that very thoroughly to make sure it actually is accurate. The other thing that we do when we use the salary information is we really want to use range data as opposed to an actual salary, because an actual salary doesn't let us know the market conditions under which someone was hired, nor do we know their tenure. So by using range data, it's just a better gauge of the market value of the position. And then the other thing that's important is when you do a survey, it really is a snapshot in time. So we did the survey earlier this year, and that was the market at that period of time. I'll talk about how you maintain the class and comp system going forward. But if an employee was going to leave CROG and go to any of those other organizations that I showed you, whether their pay is current or a year old, it's still the market at the time. You will be able to manage the system and maintain it going forward, but it is a snapshot in time when you conduct a salary survey.
Do you distinguish between base salary and various kinds of compensation, which in some places might be included in the base salary and in other places isn't?
We ask for base. Yes. This is based on base salary, right? It's not total compensation study. It's just base salary. So the compensation plan, Pauline will bring that up too, has what it does is it marries the classification plan, which you just looked at. And then on the right side, there's compensation data. And it's at the 50th percentile from the market, the current salary data, and a proposed range. And so the reason why we calculated it at the 50th percentile is because that's really where you are right now. You know, it would be better in the future to try and rise above that, because the 50th percentile represents the exact middle of the data. And the 50th percentile may be above or below average. So because there needs to be some adjustments, we decided to present it at the 50th percentile for consideration. And hopefully in the future, you can maybe go to the 60th percentile or even higher. But the 50th percentile says 50% of the entities surveyed pay more for the same position and 50% pay less. If you could go to the 60th, eventually 40% pay more and 60% pay less. So that makes you a little bit more competitive in the market. So that's what's on table two. And you can see their compensation bands are across, the grades are across those three bands there that I talked about. When you look at the salary ranges that are proposed all the way on the right, there's two tools that we use in order to calculate the ranges. One is gradation and the other is range spread. And all gradation is the difference between the starting pay. So grades one through three have a gradation of 8.5%. It jumps to 17.5% for grades four through six, and then back down to 7.5% for grades seven through nine. And what that means is grade two, for example, the starting pay is 8.5% higher than grade one, and grade three is 8.5% higher than grade two, and so on. And the range spread for every grade is 30% from minimum to maximum, meaning the maximum pay we're recommending is 30% higher than the minimum. And the reason why the gradation changes is because it allows us to really isolate the data from the market by each pay band and try as best as we can to match it to what the market is saying we should be recommending for the pay range for that particular position. So basically you can see it jumps high in grades four through six, and that's because it's just a big spread from the minimum pay that the market's saying for grade four to the maximum pay at grade six. So by using those two tools, you can make a recommendation for pay ranges that are as close to the market as possible.
So as you're very quick look, it looks to me like all of the pay ranges you are proposing are significantly higher than the current salary range.
They are higher because the market data is to the left of the current range, and it's showing that it should be. Not so much on the low end, but on the higher end. And when we analyze the impact on your current employees, the good news is, but for one employee by $500, I believe, all of their current pay is within the ranges we're recommending. So what that tells us is you are paying at market, but they're towards the lower end of the range. So you're a little bit, that's why we went with the 50th percentile. You know, if we went with the 60th, you might've had more people below the minimum. So that's good. And what it does is it'll allow people to have salary growth, and it will help you with retention if you can raise the higher ends of those ranges. So that's a good thing.
Are the majority of the employees below the midpoint of the new ranges?
Did you calculate that, Pauline? I don't know that off the top of my head.
I can't answer that question for you, John, right now. I know it depends actually on the position. So I believe the grade three levels are below the midpoint. I'm just going off the top of my head in terms of looking at this. The grade four, I think generally speaking, grade three, grade four are below the midpoints, generally, not specifically. I think the principal planner and principal program manager position, I think the average is probably at the midpoint of the new range. And I think the rest of them are below.
Some of this would be determined by length of service, though, I would suspect.
That and starting salary.
Do you mean where they would be placed in the new range?
No, I mean, if you've been here for 3 years, your pay is likely to be less than the person who was here for 10 in the same position.
Yes.
Yeah. There is some level of that, although when we've done some recent hires, we've hired them, we've had to pay a little bit more to get them to come. So there's some balance there. But I would say other than the principal planner, principal program manager position, all the rest of them are generally below the midpoint, but okay. Not all of them, not individually speaking. And that's just off of my memory. So I reserve the right to be wrong.
Thank you. Matt, do you anticipate any adjustments?
Just a couple.
Okay.
Initially, if this is approved. But to Joe Allen's point, where the maximums increase, we'll have more ability to award merit adjustments, and that'll help us on the retention side. We're not going to have people reaching the top of their grade as quickly.
No, I favor that. I mean, I think it's a positive sign that the new ranges are set so that the majority of the employees are, at or, below the midpoint. So there is room for growth within the organization, as well as being competitive in recruitment.
Good. Thank you.
So I did go to the next slide, and it really is talking about just the future administration of the system. So CROG has the manual that we wrote to manage the system, has the tool to grade the positions and the questionnaire. So going forward, as long as you are checking that every once in a while, or if you need a new position, you're classifying it and putting it into the new grade based on where it falls within a skill level, the classification plan will last you for a long time. Matt said 10 years, and unless there's significant change, it should last that long or longer. And then on the compensation side, if you go back to those communities and commissions and regional governments and find out how they're adjusting their pay ranges year after year, and if you take an average of that, and you consider adjusting your ranges, the minimum and the maximums at budget time, you'll remain competitive with the market. So it's pretty straightforward on maintenance, on both sides. And if you do that, it will last you for a long time. And I believe that is my overview. But I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Do members of the committee have questions?
I think it's pretty thorough.
Sherry, you've just come back. Do you have questions?
I was multitasking a little bit, but sorry, my necklace got caught. And so I was like, you don't need to see that. Anyway. I think this is a really, really good system, and it makes a lot of sense. And I think it also is something that will be long lasting and a great reference.
So I believe our job is to recommend this to the executive committee or to the full board.
To the full board. We have it on the agenda for next week if you're ready. And Joe Allen would come back and make a presentation to the full board.
Do you want a motion to do so?
I would so move, Madam Chair.
All right, Mr. Coleman moves that we recommend the salary and job classification and compensation study to the full board. Is there a second?
Second, Cantor.
Sherry Cantor seconds. Any further questions or discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Adopted unanimously. Thank you. And thank you very much, Joelle. I do have a subsequent question. Has there been any consideration to adding as a job characteristic caring for people?
Empathy. We have a factor for contact with others. And that factor has to do with with whom are you having contact, internal and external to the organization, and what is the nature of the contact? And so we have a level where we talk about the type of contact where you're going to encounter a situation that may be a difficult situation to deal with, you know, where you may have to go in and explain something that somebody doesn't want to know about, and you have to get them to come around to your way of thinking, you know. So it's a little bit above the front line. You got to do the active listening to when you start to get into really, you know, reacting in a situation that could be difficult to deal with. So it's not necessarily caring, but it does take into consideration those jobs where you have to be empathetic, or even you might have to de-escalate a situation depending on what's going on. You know, we use this system for all positions in local government. So we do talk about that in the contact, and we always want to know with whom people are having contact. So that's one area, and judgment too. You know, the decision making and the ramifications of making an erroneous decision is also an area where some of that complexity can come in, depending on the situation that you're dealing with.
That assumes that caring is not a fundamental characteristic of the job, right? I shouldn't take up time with this, but this is one of my hobby horses. Women choose jobs that are where they are on a regular basis responsible for supporting the emotional health of people, not just as an emergency or an on something, but those jobs always get underrated.
Well, I don't do that. I because we use this throughout local government.
Right.
So we deal with Council on Aging. We deal with licensed clinical social workers. We deal with librarians. We deal with telecommunicators. All of those are predominantly female.
Yeah.
And I always classify them higher because they're underrated. That's usually that my clients do it. You know, I mean, you walk into a library, it being a librarian, people think is not a hard job, but when you have to deal with patrons, it can be very difficult. And if you're a licensed clinical social worker and you're dealing with elderly people or challenged populations, then that requires not only sometimes a high level of education and licensing, also that skill set with the contact, you know. So we do work that into our system. And those are examples of positions that I always reclassify to where they should be in a classification plan. You don't have them, but
yes, you know, no, I know that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. And anytime I have those types of positions, you know, I make an effort to make sure that they are classified appropriately.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other business to come before this committee?
Not today.
Because that's what our agenda says, other business. So if we have no other business, happy holidays to everybody. I see some of us are prepared, some of us are not. So best wishes to everybody. And is there a motion to adjourn?
Madam Chair, I move we adjourn and right back at you on holiday wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.